Welcome to Bible Adventures. Help for today, hope for tomorrow.
Jesus is Lord of all. Jesus is Lord of all. No sin is too big, no problem too small. Jesus is Lord of all.
After a very long fast in the wilderness, 40 days and nights, the Lord Jesus resisted Satan's temptation to turn stones into bread to satisfy his hunger. Despite how starving he felt, Jesus used the words of Scripture to reject Satan and his cunning way of trying to get him to not trust in God his Father. Are there any ways that disciples of the Lord Jesus can reject Satan's temptations too? Because Satan will tempt us, and often when we least expect it, we should prepare for it. In the Apostle Paul's epistle to the Colossians chapter 3, he said, "Set your mind on things above, not on things in the earth." Praising God for his goodness to us changes our focus from self to him, and he will help us to overcome temptation. We're warned in James chapter 1 that each one is tempted when he's drawn away by his own fleshly desires and enticed. The temptations you face in your life are no different from what others experience, but God is faithful. He'll keep the temptation from becoming so strong that you can't stand up against it. When you are tempted, he'll show you a way out so that you'll not need to give in to it. When you're face to face with temptation, remind yourself of God's truths in the Bible and look for the way out that God has promised. Then follow this as fast as you can. We can resist temptation using the word of truth because Hebrews chapter 4 says that God's word is living and active. We need to bring every thought into captivity, into the obedience of Christ. This is done by regularly reading and thinking about what God is telling you in the Bible, letting the Holy Spirit guide you inside with life-giving and God-honoring thoughts will help you identify Satan's voice, condemnation and lies when he whispers to your thoughts and feelings. When you prepare yourself for temptation by following God's principles in your daily life, the Holy Spirit will remind you of God's truths from Scripture whenever temptation comes. The Bible verse in Romans chapter 8 reminds us that in all things God works for the good of those who love him. Have you ever wondered about how anything good could come out of temptation? Why does God allow Satan to attack our faith and shower us with doubts? The more the devil tries to take away our faith in God, the tighter we have to hold on to it. God allows temptation so that we will cling more closely to him. Have you ever noticed how sometimes Satan seems to catch us by surprise? Something happens unexpectedly and we're caught off guard. Yet at other times we can see the possibility of a temptation coming from a long way off. Yes, it is dangerous to persist in sin. We need to repent quickly when we do fail and fall into temptation. Otherwise, sin will become an addiction to strangle the life out of our commitment to live faithfully for God. In James chapter 1 it says, "Sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death." In today's Bible adventure, our arch enemy Satan has two more tries to tempt the Lord Jesus sinning against his heavenly Father while incredibly weakened out in the wilderness.
It is not funny.
You said you were sure that in his hunger and weakened condition, he could not resist your suggestion that he turn the stone to bread and eat. But he did resist.
He quoted Scripture. It is written, he said.
And you, even you cannot cope with the Word of God. There is no thing to combat Scripture.
Oh, he must have recognized me.
Oh, it is written, he that perverteth his way shall be known.
It is written, it is written. It is written. Yes, that's the approach I shall make on my next assault against Jesus. Yes!
Then the devil took Jesus to the holy city and set him on the highest point of the temple.
It is obvious that thou art he who was cast from heaven, for like me you are acquainted with the Scripture and understand its importance and truth. By suggesting that you turn stone to bread, I was only testing your fidelity. I commend your steadfastness and faith in God and his written word. May I suggest that you give yet another evidence of your faith? If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. Doubtest thou the word of God? If not, cast thyself down.
It is written again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God.
And the devil taketh Jesus up onto an exceeding high mountain, and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world, and the glory of them.
Of a truth, thou man of Galilee, thou art well acquainted with Scripture. I shall speak truth to you. I am he who was cast from heaven. I am the mightiest and most intelligent of all angels. I am the leader of rebellion. I am the God of this world. By my power, I now cause all the kingdoms of the world, with their unsurpassed glory, to pass in view before thee. All this power will I give thee, and the glory of the world, for they are mine by right of dominion, and to whomsoever I will, I give them. If thou, therefore, wilt worship me, all shall be thine.
Get thee behind me, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve.
And then you left?
Such a foolish question. You know as well as I that when any man calls upon God and orders us away, we have to leave. Holy angels chase us away and bar us from returning as long as the person desires.
It is written, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runneth into it and is safe.
You are laughing, and it is no laughing matter. Even I trembled before the name of the Lord and must flee from the weakest of men who take refuge in his name.
Do you know what happened to Jesus up there on that high mountain after you left?
Of course! Jesus fell down as one dead, but angels from heaven ministered to him, strengthened him with food, comforted him with the message of his Father's love, and the assurance that all heaven triumphed in his victory.
Warming to life again, his heart went out in sympathy to sinful men.
I know, I know.
I suppose you also know that Jesus will not rest or cease his efforts until we are vanquished and fallen man is redeemed.
I know he will try, but fail. He must. We must vanquish him!
Oh.
It is written, submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you.
Satan's first efforts to get Jesus to fall into sin took place before Jesus had even started his public ministry. All public ministries for God must be built on private victory first. We need our private victories over Satan before we take on leadership roles in the church. Our Lord wasn't tempted so that God could examine him and see if he was worthy to be called the Son of God. God had already approved him at his baptism at the Jordan River months before. Jesus was tempted for our sakes, that he might personally know temptation and be able to help us when we are tempted. He overcame the devil by using the same weapons available to us today. He used the Word of God, the power of the Holy Spirit, and prayer. The second temptation Satan brought against Jesus was to do with the interpretation of Scripture. Satan knows the Bible well, and just because a person can quote Scripture, it doesn't always mean that they're a child of God. Some people use the words of God by twisting them to mean things that they were never intended to mean. This is usually the case with religious groups called sects and cults. A verse in Scripture or text taken out of context can become pretext or a false and misleading idea of what the phrase means. Satan quoted from Psalm 91 and expected Jesus to carry out the quote. Jesus didn't plan to put himself into danger unnecessarily. He refused to presume on God to save him because he would be testing God. In response, Jesus quoted from Deuteronomy chapter 6, "We're not to tempt or test God." That chapter was very well known to Jewish people of ancient times. They quoted verse 4 several times a day, saying, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one." This was done to declare and remind them of their faith in God. In the third temptation encounter, Satan tried to get Jesus to buy back all the kingdoms of the world from Satan by worshipping Satan. Jesus already knew that he was the suffering servant who would buy back individuals and not kingdoms with his own blood. God's methods for doing things are far different from Satan's. We must be careful that Satan doesn't tempt us to do things under the method of the end justifies the means. This method never honors God. Jesus again used scripture from Deuteronomy chapter 6 to remind Satan that all created beings should worship God and serve him only. After this answer, Satan left Jesus alone and angels came to help Jesus so Jesus could recover from his near-death experience out in the wilderness. Sometimes people have the mistaken idea that Satan wants to give people pleasure. They want to have fun with the crowd and have a good time. Satan no more wants to give us pleasure than an athlete wants to lose a match. Satan hates us and wants to inflict as much suffering into our lives as he possibly can. Satan offers the pleasure of sin only to inflict suffering on us later and to make that suffering permanent. A well-known Christian writer, Joni Erickson Tarter, was paralyzed from the neck down after a diving accident as a teenager. By the time Joni had gone through the trials of extended hospitalization and had come to grips with her future life situation, she was in her late 20s, single and likely to remain so. Satan came to tempt her. As she was greatly disabled, it would be all right to allow her mind to linger on thoughts of lust and fantasy. She could justify that after all the things that she'd been forced to give up, didn't her wheelchair entitle her to a little slackness now and then? She wrote to her readers, "When God allows you to suffer, do you have the tendency to use your very trials as an excuse for sinning? Or do you feel that since you've given God a little extra lately by taking such abuse that he owes you a day off?" This lady teaches us that there is no excuse, not suffering, not great sacrifice, not even paralysis for indulging in impurity in our hearts and minds. Whatever temptation comes to us, we must not lose our loyalty to God and our dear Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. One of the best ways of making Satan flee from us is to take authority and power over him in the name of Jesus. We can bind Satan and his deceiving spirits using the mighty name of Jesus that rose from the grave. When we speak out aloud the name of Jesus against Satan and his attacks and schemes, he has no option but to recede from the situation. To be effective against Satan, before binding Satan, we must confess our sins and be walking in obedience to God's word. When the devil harasses us, we must operate in faith and love, not in fear. This is spiritual warfare, and in each different situation we face, we must rely on the Holy Spirit to guide and direct us. One woman wrote that the principles of praying in spiritual warfare to be these: be aggressive toward the enemy, ruthless with our own fleshly pride and selfishness, and kind and loving toward one another. Here's a verse to put in your scripture memory bank, James chapter 4, verse 7. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up. The drama is from the Bible in Living Sound. You can also contact us through our website, www.bibleradio.org.au. Those addresses again, and the website, bibleradio.org.au. We're looking forward to hearing from you. You've been listening to Bible Adventures, and I hope you'll join me again next time. Jesus.